the issue in the life of the lost person is this: what have you done and what will you do with the crucified, resurrected, ascended Lord before whom you will stand to give an account in the judgment? The issue is, what have you done with Christ? Not what have you done with drinking? What have you done with immorality? What have you done with your profane mouth? What have you done with your evil mind? What have you done with the person of Christ? All redemption centers in Him, and that's the target of the Holy Spirit.
All people are born with a corrupt nature that is hostile toward God. And no amount of good deeds or positive attitudes can change that situation. Today on In Touch, the teaching ministry of Dr. Charles Stanley, you'll hear more about this desperate condition and how the Holy Spirit invites change by convicting the unbeliever. The series on the power of the Holy Spirit continues. Let's listen in.
So John chapter 16, remember that Jesus is in the upper room, and the atmosphere is one of instruction and encouragement to them because He's going to be crucified the next day. And all through these chapters of 14, 15, 16, we find His continued references to the work of the Holy Spirit. And so He says in verse 7 of John 16, "But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper shall not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you. And He, when He comes, will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in Me. And concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you no longer behold Me. And concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now." In this passage, Jesus tells us the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the unbeliever. Now, let's look for just a moment, because there are two things here I want us to see. And the first one is simply this, and that is the conviction of the Holy Spirit is absolutely essential to the salvation of anyone. The conviction of the Holy Spirit is absolutely essential to the salvation of anyone. Notice what Jesus said. He said, "I tell you, it is necessary, it is expedient, it is absolutely to your advantage that I go away." That is His crucifixion, His resurrection, His ascension to the Father. He says, because if I don't go, He won't come. But if I go, then I will send Him. That is the Holy Spirit. And the reason He said that was, first of all, it was absolutely essential to fulfill God's mission for Christ, which was to give Himself a sacrificial ransom for the sins of the world. And secondly, in His absence, He would send the Holy Spirit, who would no longer be with them physically, one-on-one, but who would be able to indwell every single believer, which is what happened at Pentecost and what happens when you and I receive Christ as our Savior. So He says, it's absolutely essential that I go away. For also He knew that before long He would be giving them what you and I call the Great Commission, that they were to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He knew that they would be absolutely incapable, inadequate, and total failures at doing that apart from the assistance of the Holy Spirit. That is, that's why He called Him their Helper. He says He was essential for the life that they were to live, and He was essential to the work to which He had called them. So that's why He says in this given particular time, it is necessary, it is to your benefit that I go away. Because when I go, I will send Him. He'll be in you, with you, and upon you, equipping you to do the work that I've called you to do. Now, then He says, when this Holy Spirit comes, here's what He will do. He, the Bible says, will convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. So He said to them, now when I send Him and when He comes, here will be His ministry. This is the way He's going to work in the world, that is, among those who are lost. The work of the Holy Spirit is to take the Word of God, drive it home to the unbeliever, give him understanding and, listen, give him understanding, and in the process of giving him understanding, will draw him to Christ. When a person says, well, anybody can be saved any old time. No, anybody who wants to be saved can be saved. Does not Jesus say, he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out? The question is, what is it within us that makes us want to be saved? It is the working of the Holy Spirit of God. So when the Holy Spirit convicts someone of their sin, my friend, be wise enough to heed that. Be wise enough to listen. Be wise enough to respond, because that's God giving you a personal invitation through the Holy Spirit to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Now, if you notice in this passage, he said, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. When he says world, he's talking about unbelievers. He's talking about those people whom we say are lost, unbelievers, and those who have yet to receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. What does he mean when he says convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment? Well, when he says convict, that word simply means not only to expose sin, not only to bring about a sense of guilt and therefore bring that person to saving knowledge of Christ, but to convict a person is to convince them. And the convincing work in the gospel is the work of the Holy Spirit. No preacher should attempt in his own strength, in his own skills, in his own wisdom, in his own experience or education ever to convince and persuade anybody of anything spiritual within himself. That is the work in the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The reason we fail oftentimes in sharing the gospel and witnessing to others is because we depend upon our formula. We depend upon our plan. We depend upon our past experiences and successes. And so we think if the last person I witnessed to was saved, surely this person's going to be. When the ministry of the Spirit is the ministry of conviction, convicting, that is, exposing sin, that is, so stating the truth of the gospel in such a fashion that men and women can make intelligent decisions about that truth and thereby are held accountable to God. To convict the world of sin is to convince the world. To convict the world of sin is to expose the world's sin. To convict the world of its sin is to convince the world. To state the truth in such a fashion that a person understands the meaning of that truth. So that when you and I come to the Word of God, the reason Jesus said, I'm going to send you a helper. He says that helper is going to guide you into all truth. He says in this passage, there's some things you can't understand now, but you will be able to understand later. Why? Because the Spirit of God who is indwelling you will reveal that truth to you, expose the truth to you, and you will begin to understand things the way God would have you understand them. Then notice the next phrase. He says, verse 8, when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. Concerning sin, because they did not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you no longer behold me. What does he mean by righteousness? Well, righteousness is not one of those easy words to define, because the righteousness of God involves the character of God, the behavior, the conduct of God, the actions of God, and God's relationships. So we talk about the righteousness of Christ. We're talking about the perfect sinless relationship he has with the Father, his perfect sinless character, his perfect sinless conduct. Listen, when he says lost men, that is the work of the Holy Spirit is to convict, to expose. This righteousness is in two directions. When we say that the Holy Spirit's work is convicting, and that is declaring a truth in such a fashion that a man is able to comprehend it, that's the work in the ministry of the Holy Spirit. What does he do? When a person by the Holy Spirit is convicted, what God the Father does through the power of the Holy Spirit and his word is he brings that unbeliever to begin to look at Christ in the light of himself. And all of a sudden, the wickedness and the sin of the unbeliever's life comes to reality against the background of a sinless Christ. And all of the good works that a person could possibly do can never merit salvation. You see, no person is ever saved as long as they believe, as long as they hold out the tiniest bit. Well, I'm not the best. I make my mistakes. Sometimes I lose it. Sometimes I blow it. Sometimes I disobey. So I know I don't live up to your expectation. But after all, I'm as good as some other people, and I'll just take my chances in the judgment when I stand before God, and surely God's going to see at least a little bit of good in me. None. You say, you mean to tell me that after all the good things I've tried to do, that God's not going to see any of that? The Bible says in Isaiah, he says that the righteousness of sinful men, of the unbeliever, is as filthy rags in the eyes of God. Listen to me. That's why he convicts the world of sin and of righteousness. He convicts the unbeliever of the righteousness of Christ. And then in light of that, he convicts what? He convicts the unbeliever of his unrighteousness. And the unrighteousness is this, that he could so live his life and reject the only begotten Son of God, who was an expression of God's unconditional love to sinful, undeserving man. And for a man to live in sin and disobedience to God and reject the Lord Jesus Christ, unbelief is the sin of all sins. When a person puts their focus upon Christ, when a person begins to look at the Lord Jesus Christ, as he said in that sixth chapter, when men behold him and believe, then they're saved. You can go to church, you can be baptized, you can do all of these things and still be lost. You can walk the church aisle and confess a lot of things and still be lost. Listen, when a person beholds the Lord Jesus Christ, when the Spirit of God convicts a lost person of who Jesus is, you don't have to worry about what's going on in their life. God the Spirit will begin then to reveal to that person what those things are in their life that ought not to be. And when men begin to see who Jesus Christ is, then what happens? The veil drops from their eyes, and then they begin to see the error of their way in the light of the person of Jesus Christ. But friends, you can talk about sin in the life of a believer and talk about sin and talk about sin, and because their minds are blinded to the truth, they have a very difficult time receiving Jesus Christ, when all the time we talk about all these things they've got to straighten up. First of all, they feel powerless to straighten it up. You know why they feel powerless? They are absolutely powerless. They can't straighten it up. When a lost person says, well, am I going to be able to live a Christian life? Don't tell them yes. They can't. You say, what do you mean a Christian can't live a Christian life? Nobody can live a Christian life apart from the release of that life of Christ within us. The work in the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer, releasing the indwelling presence of the life of Jesus Christ with us. That's why Paul said, and when Christ, who is our life, shall appear. We have a brand new spirit. We're a brand new creation. We've been born again. Everything about us is new. It is the Spirit of God working within us, living through us. It isn't what we do. And all of our actions and all of our abilities and all of that, none of that works apart from the work and the ministry of the life of the Spirit within us. The unbeliever cannot do a lot of correcting that will last. He can't correct all these things. Now, there are some folks who say, well, I'm going to stop smoking. I'm going to stop drinking. I'm going to stop this and stop that. There's some things that people have the strength to do. But here's the issue. The issue is not stopping any of that. Because listen, drinking won't send you to hell. Immorality won't put you in hell. Profanity won't put you in hell. It is unbelief in Jesus. So what is the sin that has to be dealt with? Accepting Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And my friend, when we see him upon the cross as he is, then we begin to see our awesome need of salvation by the grace of Almighty God. That's why he says he will convict the world of righteousness, but then he says convict the world of judgment. Now, what does he mean by that? Well, in the 12th chapter, look there, if you will, back just a few chapters, the 12th chapter of John. Listen to what Jesus says. In verse 31, he says, now judgment is upon this world. Listen to that. Now judgment is upon this world. Now the ruler of this world shall be cast out. The judgment, listen, the judgment of God fell upon this world at Calvary. And not only that, but Satan lost it all at Calvary. And if you recall back in the 10th chapter of Luke, that Jesus said, I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. The devil has already been judged. You want to know what his judgment is? Turn to Revelation chapter 20. You say, well, now what's this got to do with a lost person? I'm going to show you in just a moment. Revelation chapter 20. That is, the verdict has already been issued on Satan. And here's the verdict. Now, who's the god of this age? The devil. Who's the god of the unbeliever? The devil. Why does the Holy Spirit convict the world, the unbeliever? Listen. Verse 10, chapter 20 of the book of the Revelation. And the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are also. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. All the fallen angels are going to be there. All the demons are going to be there. and all the unbelievers are going to be in the same place. And we ask ourselves the question, what did Jesus say? And concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. He says the work of the Holy Spirit is to convict, listen, to convict the unbeliever of the judgment to come. Satan has already been judged. Think about this. My friend, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, your God is the devil. You say, the devil is not my God. Yes, he is. He's the God of this age. He's the God of this world system. And if you're a part of this world system, and if you've not trusted Christ, you are. Because you see, there are only two kingdoms, the kingdom of righteousness, the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of the devil. And those who rejected Jesus Christ as their Savior belong to the kingdom of darkness. Those of us who trusted Jesus as our Savior belong to the kingdom of light. The Bible says the kingdom of His dear Son. He translated us, and He has transported us from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. The judgment of God is upon the devil, and Satan's verdict has already been pronounced, and he is hell-bound. He's going to spend eternity separated from God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, and everything that is good. And all those who follow Him are going to follow Him for eternity. Now, is it any wonder that a lost person does not want to hear any sermons about judgment? But not only does he mean that, but listen, he says, and concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. Not only has the ruler of this world been judged, but every single lost person, every single lost person needs to heed these two warnings. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? And there is no answer to that in the Bible, because there is no escape. He says the Holy Spirit has come to convict us of the sin of unbelief and to convict us of the righteousness of Christ that atones for our sin and our unrighteousness. To convict us, listen, of the judgment upon Satan and the judgment that is upon all of us who refuse to acknowledge Jesus Christ as our Savior and our Lord. Here's what I want you to see. You have two choices. You can either accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, or you can reject Him. But here's what I want you to see. Rejecting Jesus Christ is a dangerous thing, because the continuous rejection of Christ hardens man's heart until finally, listen, until finally he comes to church and it doesn't quite bother him as much as it used to. And then finally he comes and he just sits and looks around and he just sort of enjoys the crowd, and that's fine. Doesn't feel anything. Or after a while, he says, I don't want to hear it anymore. I don't want to hear it anymore. And he will not let you witness to him. He will not let you share your faith. He will not let you talk about Jesus Christ. He does not want to hear it. She does not want to hear any more of it. And they may curse you out, profane you, and blaspheme you. They don't want to hear it. You know what's happened? Real tragedy has happened. Because in their walk away from God, they crossed the line. No God, no Christ, no desire, no interest. And the heart is hardened against God. You say, well, you mean to tell me if those folks want to get saved, God won't save them? No, that's not the issue. The issue is they won't want to. Here's what I want you to understand. If you're going to come to church, for God's sake and for your sake, surrender your life to Christ. Don't sit here, my friend. I pray in Jesus' name, don't sit here until you don't feel it any longer. And you get numb and paralyzed and unmoved, untouched, and like stone, you sit there with no desire for God. You say, what must I do? Simply this. If you pray this prayer to the Lord today, Lord Jesus, I have sinned against you. I've wanted it my own way. I ask you to forgive me for rejecting you as my personal Savior. I do believe that your death at Calvary paid my sin debt in full. I do believe that you're the Son of God. and I receive you as my Savior. I yield my life to you. And my friend, the moment you're willing to trust Him, the moment you're willing to yield your life to Him, Lord Jesus, I receive you as my Savior, my Lord and my life. You'll understand more about all of that later, but it's receiving Him for the forgiveness of your sin. Then the Spirit of God will begin His house cleaning in your life. Then He'll show you what doesn't fit and what does fit. Then He'll begin His work of revealing how you can become everything God wants you to become. It's that simple, but remember this, it cost the Son of God everything for that to happen.
Did you for the first time recognize the uniqueness of Jesus Christ and understand His sacrifice on your behalf? If so, we hope you genuinely joined in along with Dr. Stanley's prayer of salvation at the end of his sermon. Once you believe in Jesus Christ for the salvation of your soul, you are welcomed into the family of God. If you need more information about who Jesus really is and what He came to do, take some time to search our website at intouch.org. And to listen to this message again, click on Today on Radio. Again, log on to intouch.org. You may write to In Touch Ministries of Australia at P.O. Box 704, Penrith, New South Wales 27251, or ring us on 1-800-765-615 for the cost of a local call. Again, that's 1-800-765-615. You may also email us at au@intouch.org. Again, you may send an email to au@intouch.org. God hates all sin, but there's one that gets in the way of a relationship with Him. Here's a moment with Charles Stanley.
Suppose we have a 30-year-old man. He's very immoral, drinks, reads pornography, smokes marijuana, never goes to church, never picks up the Bible, not interested in prayer, not interested in being kind to other people, serving anybody. There's not one single religious thread within that person. That 30-year-old man turns on the television one day, or someone comes to him and begins to share what Jesus Christ means. When the Spirit of God begins to take the message of God and drive it home to that man's heart, which one of those sins is the Holy Spirit going to target? Most people would say all of them. And the answer is none of them. Because that is not His work in the life of the unbeliever. Now listen carefully so you'll not misunderstand. I didn't say the Holy Spirit would not convict lost people. I said the work of the Holy Spirit, if you'll notice, His first work and the minister of the Holy Spirit, His first point of interest, His first target is not His drinking or His smoking or His gambling or His immorality or His pornography. None of that. Men do not die and go to hell because of marijuana or drinking or immorality, though God hates all of those sins and God will judge them every one. People die and are banished from God for eternity for one single sin, and that is unbelief in Jesus Christ as the Son of God.
You can learn more about what it means to believe in Jesus Christ at intouch.org. Did you have a God moment today as you listened into our program? We'd love to hear what you learned. Tomorrow on In Touch, Ephesians 2 says that sin makes us dead in our trespasses. Find out how the Holy Spirit gives new life to those who believe in Jesus. Our series continues Wednesday on In Touch, the teaching ministry of Dr. Charles Stanley. This program is a presentation of In Touch Ministries, Atlanta, Georgia, USA.